You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we find out why sales of the George Orwell novel 1984 soared in the last week.
First, a state manufacturing tax credit is costing substantially more than originally expected. The latest figure from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau puts the cost at $1.4 billion by mid-2019. When the credit first passed in 2011, the projected cost was $128 million a year.
Democrats are arguing that it puts too much pressure on other parts of the state's already stretched budget, but Republicans are standing by the manufacturing income tax credit as good for business.
Gordon Hintz joins us now. He's a Democrat representing Oshkosh in the state assembly. Representative Hintz, welcome to Central Time.
Happy to be here.
Well, with this new info on the manufacturing tax credit, what concerns do you have about the numbers you're seeing?
Well, look, this is something that we've known about for some time, and really it is about, you know, highlighting how some of the past priorities, I mean, this decision was made in 2011 with no public hearing, with very little input in a last-minute budget decision, and it is something that continues to cost the state an excessive amount of revenue with very little benefit. And so as we head into the next budget, we see these numbers that, you know, by the time the next budget's done, it will have cost the state $1.4 billion. And, you know, there's no, you know, requirement to have any job creation or job growth. And it's really something that explains why we've had to cut funding for K-12 education in the UW system despite, you know, a moderately growing economy.
We'll talk about the impact of this law on business in a minute and jobs, but talk about what you see as better uses for that money than these tax credits.
Well, public education, for one. Again, the original forecast at the time this was passed was it would cost $128 million. You know, it has now cost more than three times that. I guess the problem that I have is, you know, I certainly support targeted tax cuts aimed at, you know, increasing consumer spending or tied to job creation in any way. The way they have done this just, you know, eliminates tax liability. And when you look at the distribution of that money, it disproportionately goes to high income earners with no requirement for any jobs to be, you know, created. So it's a very inefficient use of an awful lot of money that could be used for a lot of our programs that we know benefit the state in the long run.
Well, the idea here, and Republicans would say, hey, this is money, even if it's going to wealthier Wisconsinites and businesses, that's money that they are maybe reinvesting in business here in Wisconsin. And we've got low unemployment rates, very low unemployment rates compared to the national average, compared to Wisconsin history. So maybe it's working.
Well, we've got low unemployment, but we've got rather sluggish job growth. If someone can explain to me that spending $1.4 billion to have the eighth best job growth in the Midwest over the last 5 years, you know, and one of the worst, you know, half, you know, a little more than half the national rate of growth, you know, doesn't seem to be too effective from a measurement standpoint.
If this could be refined, if this could be targeted, could you get behind this? If the same kind of money was going out there, but with some kind of job creation standard, could you get behind something like that?
Sure. I mean, look, if this was an effective program, I don't think we would have a problem with it. And when Democrats were in the majority, you know, we did deals that were contingent on job creation, especially with Mercury Marine and then Oshkosh Corp in my area, largely to help them add jobs or save jobs. But with having no requirement, and if you look at the paltry growth that has occurred, you do need, I think, that kind of requirement if you're going to get, you know, compliance. I mean, no one is going to reinvest in their business or add employees if there isn't demand for whatever there is producing. And so, you know, just cutting taxes alone, you know, doesn't increase, you know, demand for their product. And, you know, they will reinvest in it if they can make more money than they're going to benefit from the tax cut. But I'm surprised that there are so many so-called market conservatives that are following something that clearly ignores how the market works.
Talking to Representative Gordon Hintz, he represents Oshkosh in the state assembly, looking at new numbers on a tax credit here in Wisconsin targeting manufacturing and agriculture for the most part. He says we're paying a lot of money, not getting a lot of jobs out of that. Do you have any hope of making a change in this, given the makeup of the legislature? Your party is in the minority everywhere it counts.
You know, not really. You know, last year on finance, we made several motions, not even to eliminate the credit or repeal it, but simply to delay its full implementation. It didn't hit its full, you know, elimination of people's tax liability until this year. And we just said, look, you know, we are cutting the EW system by $250 million. We're not putting any money into K-12 education, you know, even though we have more revenue, but we're losing it due to this excessive tax cut that costs three times the amount that it was originally forecasted to cost. And, you know, these guys are kind of doubling down on, you know, their ideological perspective on things, but it really is about budget priorities. And instead of paying for public education and instead of investing in the UW system, it was a bigger priority to give a tax cut to largely the wealthiest individuals in the state of Wisconsin.
Governor Walker has said his new budget coming out next month will include restoring some funding to K through 12 education, possibly to the university system, focus on rural schools when it comes to education. Is that possible? We could do both, bring back that funding and keep this tax credit?
Well, Governor Walker is definitely one of those rare politicians. You know, he spends 6 years prioritizing tax cuts for the wealthy, dismantling public education in the UW system, and now it looks like with this budget, he's going to run on partially restoring those funding cuts, you know, as if he's some sort of hero. You know, there is revenue to start restoring some of those cuts, but I'm hopeful that people will remember the fact that here's a guy who is now trying to fix the problems that he largely created in our state.
Do you see this being an issue? I know elections just happened. Nobody wants to talk about another round of election, but legislature elections coming up next year, governor up for re-election if he chooses to do so. Is this issue, tax cuts versus investment in education, something that would be at the top of a Democratic Party platform?
Well, you have to be careful when you say tax cuts, because I think if we had done tax cuts in a way that would have put more money in people's pockets to have more disposable income, or if we had done business tax cuts that would have rewarded investment more in their capital or in job creation, it would be something else. The question for people is, do we think giving 11 people who earn over $30 million a year, $22 million of tax cuts, is the best investment of money? Or should we prioritize things like public education and the UW system that have a multiplying factor that invested long-term opportunity and economic growth? And so I think, you know, part of it is looking back at what has been done to our state, what the priorities have been. And in this case, it certainly wasn't our children, our public education system, or our UW system.
We'll leave it there for now. Representative Hintz, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rob.
That was Gordon Hintz, a Democrat representing Oshkosh in the state assembly. He joined us to talk about the Wisconsin manufacturing tax credit and the impact it's having on the state budget.
President Donald Trump is expected to make an announcement about his nomination for Supreme Court Justice tonight at 7, and you can hear that announcement live on the Ideas Network. We'll have special coverage of the event along with analysis from our NPR political team. That's President Trump's Supreme Court announcement tonight at 7 o'clock here on the Ideas Network.
And you can hear more tomorrow on the Ideas Network on the Joy Cardine Show and here on Central Time.